following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Navigating the Storm, How to Journey in Faith Through Troubling Times. Earlier in the series, we considered a number of biblical stories in which people were literally navigating through a storm at sea, but our main focus has been on the various storms that we face in life and how we can navigate in our own experience through troubling times. We can gain insight and inspiration from the scripture story that we heard this morning. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story this morning from 2 Chronicles is one of the battle stories of the Old Testament. This time period in biblical history was a time when the world was full of warfare, though perhaps not much more so than the world is today. And the people of Israel were constantly subjected to raids and attacks from neighboring kingdoms. Biblical writers, however, had no interest in recording battle stories per se. The accounts of battles and kings were recorded in other historical books at the time. Whenever a biblical book tells a story like this, it does so because the events in the story are seen to convey some sort of lasting spiritual message. And this is certainly the case with our story this morning. The story occurs during the reign of King Jehoshaphat. I love that name, Jehoshaphat. It means the Lord is judge. During his reign in the 9th century BC, the land of Judah was subjected to a massive invasion by the combined armies of three nations that lay to the east, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and a group of Edomites, also called the Maonites or the inhabitants of Mount Seir in our passage. Jehoshaphat and his small nation faced total destruction. As the invading army approached, Jehoshaphat called the people to prayer. Many of them came to the temple in Jerusalem. There, Jehoshaphat prayed to God for deliverance, and his prayer concludes with Jehoshaphat saying, "We do not know what we should do, but our eyes, O Lord, are on you." Can you imagine a political leader saying that today? Leaders generally want to at least pretend they know what to do, but Jehoshaphat was a very honest and humble leader when he says, "We do not know what we should do." He connects with all of us when we are in rough times and are at a loss for what we can do. But his last line is key. "Our eyes, O Lord, are upon you." Here is a fundamental spiritual principle for life. Whenever we find ourselves assailed by trouble, when the pressure is on and there is no immediately apparent solution, we can join in this movement of prayer to fix our eyes upon God. Then a man stands up in the assembly, an early prophet named Jahaziel. He declares, "Fear not, do not be dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's." In other words, you don't have to do this alone. God is with you, and God will bring you through. This, in fact, is a central spiritual message that we have heard and been hearing throughout this sermon series. As people in biblical times have faced various stormy trials, from Noah on the waters to the disciples caught in a storm on the Sea of Galilee to the Apostle Paul and his companions caught in a raging storm on the Mediterranean, the message they have consistently received is that they were not alone, but God was with them and would bring them through the storm. Thus, the message of the prophet Jehaziel, "Fear not," would be the same message that Jesus would speak to his disciples when they were struggling on the Sea of Galilee, and the same message that Paul heard from God in the midst of the storm. It is a message that we need to hear today, that God reigns over all, and God is at work for good. We need not be afraid. So Jehaziel and Jehoshaphat called the people to put their trust in God. The next day, Jehoshaphat gathered the people together and said, "Listen to me, everyone. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld." Then he summoned the people to one of the most extraordinary actions of faith recorded anywhere in the Bible. Our passage says, Jehoshaphat appointed people to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." So here's the picture. There is a massive army of three combined nations encamped near Jerusalem, intent on slaughtering the inhabitants of the city. The people of Judah are to march out toward those invaders, singing hymns. The choir is to be in front of the puny army of Judah. Who wants to sign up for the choir? And they are supposed to sing a song that says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." This song seems a bit premature. What is there to give thanks for? They are in a serious jam, and it looks like they're about to be slaughtered. But they give thanks before they see any resolution of their crisis. Here surely is a model for us. We often approach Thanksgiving with the idea that we give thanks for blessings received. But here in our scripture story, they give thanks for blessings promised. They have no idea really how things are going to turn out, but they give thanks because God is a God of steadfast love. So they can trust in God's goodness, and they trust that God is leading them toward a positive destiny. Moreover, as they give thanks, they do not just sit back waiting for some sort of divine deliverance, but they move forward toward the problem with faith and thanksgiving. It would have been one thing to huddle behind the walls of Jerusalem hoping the problem would go away, but these people step out in faith. Our scripture says they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. The wilderness of Tekoa was an open desert area outside of Jerusalem toward the area where the invading army was encamped. This is a powerful picture of the fact that faith is not a passive or a cautious thing. Faith involves moving forward toward challenges with a trust that God will be at work. In fact, we do this kind of thing in our church all the time. A few years ago, we were approached by our district superintendent asking if we could help a struggling mission church that was working in the Goodyear Heights neighborhood of Akron called Heart for the City, doing some wonderful work reaching out to low-income people there. It was operating out of a United Methodist building that had closed a couple years before and now was revived for this purpose. We made an annual commitment to give $5,000 a year to support Heart for the City. We did not have $5,000 at hand at the time, and it was not in our budget. But we stepped forward in faith, trusting that if we included Heart for the City in a couple of our mission offerings, such as our Thanksgiving offering that we're taking right now, in which Heart for the City is one of the missions being supported, our congregation would step up and we would have the funds required. In fact, we have been able to support Heart for the City to the tune of $5,000 a year, each year for 3 years running. Or, last summer at Mountaintop, our church, which has been one of the strongest supporters of the Mountaintop Mission over the years, was invited to be a part of a pilot project next summer. For years, we have provided a youth team with adult leaders to do minor home repair projects and to help run a day camp in Grundy County, Tennessee, one of the poorest counties in our country. The pilot project involves expanding our mountaintop outreach to include additional volunteers who will do major home repairs under the leadership of licensed contractors, and still more volunteers who will help run a high adventure camp for teenagers in Grundy County. Those additional volunteers would need to be youth age 17 or older, or young adults, or really adults of any age. We made a commitment to take this on, and we have a target to send 100 volunteers all together to Mountaintop next summer. We have never sent a mission team anywhere close to this size anywhere, but we are trusting that more older teens, young adults, and adults of every age will hear God's call to go to the mountain to be a part of this mission outreach. Mark your calendar. The second week in July, July 8th through 15th, second week of July next summer, maybe God is calling you. Or for yet another example of stepping toward a challenge for which you are not fully equipped, a couple weeks ago, we signed a contract to paint the sanctuary ceiling, which is in desperate need of repair. You can see that big piece ready to fall on my head anytime. We need to do this now that we've fixed the sanctuary roof that had allowed seepage that caused the damage to occur. We have a prime timing opportunity for this. Sanctuary will be closed the 2 weeks right after Christmas. The Sunday that's in the middle of that two-week period when the pain's happening this is a Sunday that the sanctuary need to be closed. That is New Year's Day. And on that day, we'll be having a combined worship service at 1 hour, 10 o'clock in the gymnasium. Now, we don't actually have nearly enough money yet to pay the sanctuary ceiling. But we have made an extra appeal for the Raise the Roof Fund, and we are stepping forward in faith. There are many occasions in life when we face a daunting challenge, and we are called to move forward, trusting that God will be at work around us and through us. This, in fact, is exactly what the pilgrims were doing that we typically recall at our American Thanksgiving. As the pilgrims arrived at the wilderness in Massachusetts, they connected themselves in their own minds with the ancient Israelites. And they thought particularly about what happened when the Israelites were journeying into a wilderness. Last Sunday, we talked about some of the early wilderness wanderings of the people of Israel as they came out of the Exodus out of Egypt. And we noted that the wilderness in the Bible signifies a place of great challenge and uncertainty. What the pilgrims recalled was that when you are heading into a wilderness, you're not going to know how things are going to work out. What you must do is move forward in faith, trusting in the leading and the providence of God. Our story this morning recalls that image of the wilderness when it says that the people went into the wilderness of Tekoa. In that hilly, open desert area outside Jerusalem, the people of Judah were in a place of great uncertainty and in great peril, but they had confidence that God would be at work. So they stepped forth, singing God's praise, even before they saw any answer to their need. And God was indeed at work. Our story moves to an extraordinary conclusion as God brings about a miraculous deliverance to the people of Judah. Our passage reports, as the people began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. For the Ammonites and Moabites rose against the men from Mount Seir to annihilate them, and after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they destroyed one another. It is not clear exactly what happened, but this is not the first time in ancient history that marauding tribes in an invading alliance fell apart and began fighting each other. Whether it was by confusion or dissension, the Ammonites, Moabites, and Edomites ended up battling against each other, and their army disintegrated. The people of Judah were delivered exactly as Jahaziel had proclaimed, as he said, "You will not have to fight this battle. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you." There's a good deal in life that can threaten us and that can cause us to be in fear. But God's word in the scripture brings enormous encouragement. Fear not. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be established. So we can put our trust in God. We can move forward in faith, and we can join in that ancient song, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Let us pray. O Lord, as we find ourselves facing trials and uncertainty in life, move us to fix our vision upon you, to recognize that indeed you reign over all, and that you are here with us, your Spirit is at work all around us, and you are here to work through us, to uphold us in your strength, to guide us in your wisdom, to lead us in your ways, to enable us, O Lord, to know your grace and to have that confidence that we are journeying toward your eternal promises. Move us, O Lord, as we would put our trust in you, and as we lift then our hearts to you in thankfulness and praise. And Lord, as you draw us together, we give thanks that we can join with your Spirit to reach out to others who are struggling and in times of particular need. We also pray for our fellow United Methodists at the Sharon Center United Methodist Church. We thank you, Lord, that you call us to be in mission to the whole world. We pray you would lead and inspire us as we reach out in our own community and as we reach out far beyond. Inspire us today as we would look to you, O Lord, knowing that you are here powerfully at work among us. You are guiding us to share in your purposes. You lead us to grow in faith together. Move us, O Lord, as we indeed would lift our hearts to you in faith and in praise and give to you our thanks. And now, O God, guide us as in silent prayer we would offer to you thanks for your blessings that we've received and for blessings promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.